for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
I like to sit down on Vision Sunday, and here's why. I just would like you to imagine us in the living room of Church on the Rock. This is our church home. This is our house. We are family. And so I would love to just invite you to just come into the living room. Let's sit down and have a conversation. I want to talk to you about some data and some details and some things about our church and about what God is doing here and about what God, I believe, is calling us to do here. And so here's how I want the day to go. I plan to start at like the 10,000 foot view, and I just want to work this thing all the way down to you, okay? So if you understand, like, that's kind of the direction that I'm trying to go, I just want to start really how we're going to talk sort of big picture vision stuff, and then we're just going to work it right down into a place that I think it'll relate to you, I think it'll matter to you, and then I'll give you really some steps. I'm going to give you 4 action steps that you can take today to help us accelerate the vision of this church. I'm going to warn you that in the 8 a.m. I went longer than I should. So I'm going to try to pack the same amount of content into less amount of time. Can I do it? Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Look into you, God. I want to start in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. This is the most probably kind of cliche vision verse in the Bible. I think if you've ever been in a context where you've been listening to vision from a preacher, they probably read this verse. I'm going to start there because it is the Bible. And even though it gets used in these contexts, it's still powerful and true. Amen. So Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, it says this: "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. He may run who reads it." Here's my hope in my heart today. I highlighted a few words because I want to talk about vision, and I just want to make it plain as I can. Like, I just want to make it very, very clear. I want you to kind of hear some things and kind of know where we're going as a church. And so I'm going to do my very, very best to make it plain. But to start, okay, I want to start with some of the words of Jesus that gives me a lot of hope. Are you ready for it? A lot of hope. These are the words of Jesus. He said this in John chapter 12, "There will always be poor among you." And some of you guys are like, what is wrong with the preacher? Why does that give him hope? Honestly, as a leader, I find a lot of confidence in these words from Jesus because he's making a declaration here. He's communicating to his disciples. And one of the things that he's saying is, hey, everybody, like, don't be surprised. There's always going to be poor among you. Let me reword it a little bit. There's always going to be need. Let me say it this way. There's always going to be more to do than you have the capacity to get done. And there is, I'm a leader, like, I love leadership. I read leadership books. I do leadership podcasts. I watch leadership teaching. I eat it up. It's like my favorite meal. I can't get enough of it. And so in the context of leadership, years ago, I heard a pastor say a statement that I love so much. I've like bought it and just made it my own. Is he says, there will always be more vision than there is resources. In other words, we will, no matter what we have, there'll always be more need because there's always poor among you. There's always need among you. And so for me as a pastor, I believe God's calling me to some things as a leader. I believe God's calling this church to some things as a family. And what I'm recognizing is that, man, there'll always be more, like always be more to do. And the real question is the tension for me as a leader is like, well, which ones then do you serve first? Because there's so much need out there. Like, where do you go and how do you do it? I mean, if we had $20 million, there's more than $20 million worth of problems in the world today. Can we agree to that? So the question really becomes like, well, then what do we do and how do we get it done? And so starting sort of at the top, I want to communicate some things to you that are from me, some things that I feel called by God to do as a pastor. Okay, is that okay? Like, there are certain things that I feel like God has called me to directly as a pastor. Therefore, I have to lead in that way. And so a few of them that I'm going to just sort of communicate to you. One is this, that I believe that God has called me to lead a church of diversity. Diversity. I believe that God wants the body of Christ to look like heaven. So let me explain what I mean by that. There's not a denominational heaven. There's not a black heaven. There's not a white heaven. There's not a Republican heaven and a Democratic heaven. There is heaven, where followers of Jesus Christ and those who are walking in the truth go. There's not a young heaven and an old heaven. There's not a Gen Z heaven and a Gen X heaven. Like, that doesn't exist. It's the body of Christ. It's the people of God. And so I feel strongly called to lead a church that looks as much like heaven as possible. So I love old people and young people and everything in between. I love black people and white people and every other race represented. I love rich people and I love poor people. So from my heart to yours, I want you to hear me say that I'm not trying to target a certain audience as a pastor. I don't want our church to be after a certain people. I want our church to be after people. And there's a reason for it, because the truth is, and this is a great place to say amen, and you guys are doing a great job already, but we all have something to offer. Yes. All of us. And so I'm not trying to lead a church that says, like, man, we want to reach the young audience and we just want to keep the face of our church young. No, that's not our call. Because some of you could be in this room, you could be 76 years old and still have loads of potential for your future. That God wants to use you to do great things from this moment forward. I think that you have seasons of life and wisdom of things that you can impart into me and the generations to follow that we can learn from you. Like, there are pitfalls that you can help us avoid because you've seen them before. There are victories that you've encountered and that you've celebrated that you can help us see ourselves because you have a different perspective and because you've been through some season of life that we haven't been through yet. But also don't want to discredit the youth and the young generation. Like there's this new thing, Gen Z. Y'all heard of this? Like, everybody wants to pick on the millennials. I got news for you. They're getting old. They're like 35 now. We've been busting their chops for 15 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're like the workforce of America today, and we keep busting their chops. There's a whole new generation called Gen Z now, and the oldest of them are 20, 21, 22 years old, and guess what? They have a lot to offer us. They're remarkably creative. They have unbelievable resources. They think in a different way because they grew up in a different time, and that's true in every generation. So some of you value certain things that other generations don't value because of what you experience coming up. And so what I want to see is a church that has the diversity that spans generational gaps so that we all can serve each other well. Because the 76-year-old in the room can learn from the 19-year-old in the room sometimes. Yeah. Amen. I know the old people don't want to say amen, but that's truth. Amen. It just is, and vice versa. And so I want to make sure that our church looks this way. I want to make sure that our church has racial barriers just torn down. That man, like, we are all the same because we're all human. Right. Amen. I'm going to say it one more time because I feel like there's a little bit better response. We're all the same because we're all human. Yeah. It's just true. And the reality is that it's like, I'm not trying to reach a people that have a bunch of resources so that we can do a bunch more stuff. Like, I need the people that don't have a lot to be a part of our church family because we need to be able to learn from you and serve you. And then we need to learn how it feels and how it looks on every end of the spectrum so that we can better connect to the people that live like you live and know it like you know it. Amen. And so I believe God's called me to lead a church that is diverse. I feel like I spent a lot of time there, but if you can't tell, it's a real passionate part of my heart. I also believe, and by the way, let me say this, that there are times that I'm afraid to say things because I'm like, that sounds awfully audacious. And so I want you to know my philosophy, okay, is this. I want to set the bar as high as I possibly can and stretch all the time. So that if I miss, I miss high. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to say some things this morning that might sound like, whoa, like that's pretty audacious, but I just want you to hear my heart. Like, I'm going to say some things that I normally would be nervous to say because I don't want you to hold me accountable to it. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. I also believe that God has called me to lead a church that has multiple locations. That, for me, that's a big one to say. But I believe that God has called me to lead a church that has multiple locations. What does that mean? That means that I have a responsibility as a leader to create a pipeline that develops leaders. And so our house is going to carry this kind of a culture and this kind of a mindset that we need to create a way for leaders to grow up into leadership. For us to go where God is calling us to be, that means that we need to have a lot of high-level leaders that can carry a lot of weight and handle loads of responsibility. Because I think God is calling us to get wider and to have more impact through more locations. Back several years ago, when churches started to have like one church, multiple locations, that was like revolutionary. Like, oh my gosh, are you guys crazy? How are you doing that? I want to make a very bold statement to you today. I don't think that's really unique anymore. In fact, I think it's the new American church normal. And so I don't even have anxiety about trying to pursue this as a church because I think it's one of the most effective ways that churches are reaching people. Duplicate the culture, man. Create a place that has what we're experiencing here, life groups and relationships and people to come together. And man, get that thing in as many places as possible. Why? Because more people are coming to Christ in America through churches than any other method. So in my heart, it's like, then we need more of them. This is a sad statistic that I'm going to give you. More churches close each year than open. So we have work to do. And so I believe that God has called me to lead a church that has multiple locations, meaning I am going to pour my life into raising up leaders and empowering them and training them and doing everything that I can do to raise up leaders that can lead at high levels. What does that mean? I better be on my game. I better be stretching. I better be growing. I better stay in them books and them podcasts and them sermons. Amen. Because if I quit growing, everybody will quit growing. And so I feel called to this. I feel called to lead a church that has major impact in our community. Like, I believe that God is calling our church not to just be some random church on some random corner, but actually to be seen by civic leaders in our city as a highly influential resource for change in the culture of the community. Like, I'm sitting down currently having meetings with as many civic leaders as I can, and here's the question that I'm asking. I sit with them and I say, hello, thanks for taking the time with me. I have a question for you. From your perspective, how can a church influence the city? And I just sit back and start taking notes. And I'm listening to what they're saying because you have a different lens on what the needs are in our community. And if we're a church that says that we want to really make a move for the power of God, then we need to be connected to what the needs are. So then let's figure out how we can go make a difference and get the family outside the boundaries. This is better than you might be letting on right now. Just saying. Because I think this is what the church should be doing. It's not a club. It's not a place to hang. It is a movement. It is alive, and it changes things because the power of God functions in it. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe that God's called us to dig wells and plant farms in the Philippines. I believe that God has called us to save more babies in South Africa. I believe that God has called us to raise up more leaders in Guatemala and develop more people that understand how to bring the to not to give a hand out, but to give a hand up. I believe that God has called us to the 1040 window to minister to pastors who have to hide their churches, and the fact that they're born again Christians puts their life at risk. I believe that God has called us to influence this in greater ways. Yeah. And by the way, everything I just mentioned, by the way, you're already contributing to as a church. But I feel like God's called us to do it at higher levels, at higher levels. And so at this 10,000 foot view, like, I want you to know what I see. 5 years ago, I could see this. 5 years from now, I see a lot more. And it's not for the sake of numbers, and it's not for the sake of man. Let's make it like, hear me. We are not trying to build an empire. We are trying to build the kingdom of God. Amen. There's only one name that needs to be famous, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to kind of talk to you, though, with all that said, right? I want to talk to you a little bit about the tension. There is a little bit of a tension. There's last year, Vision Sunday, we called it the elephant. There is an elephant in the room, right? How many of you guys were here for Vision Sunday last year? That was 363 days ago today. How about that? And I did not plan it that way. It just sort of timed out that way. I don't know. And we talked about our facility and our building and the fact that we have a lot of people that come here and we really don't have a lot of space, right? And so there's like this, what are we going to do about it? And I get this question all the time. Pastor, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Man, I found this place. Did you see that building? You think we should get, like, all the time, more than you can imagine. And so we have been, as a leadership team and board of directors, we have been hard at work for a year, just investigating and looking. We've walked stuff and looked, I mean, just all kinds of different things. And so there's this tension, like, well, what are we going to do next? And I think a lot of you are feeling it, like, to the point that, just for you to know, in this whole campus, the whole place, we have one closet, one that actually functions as a closet. One. Everything else has been transformed into some sort of usable space. It's holding production equipment. It's hosting our dream team and their snacks and the refreshments. It's making coffee is coming out of there. Like, we've just converted everything. All of our offices, we've just condensed them next door into one room. Like, I call it the bullpen. We're just all in there together. We can hardly get anything done because we like each other and we talk a lot. You know what I'm saying? And we're just all crammed in there together. But there's a tension. Like, what are we going to do? So we've kind of recognized this. And so I'm going to give you some things that's going to present also, like, what I think is a really, really awesome announcement. But to do it, I want to start with this verse. Okay, let's start here. The Bible says in Ephesians, right, this says these words. Watch this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I really want to kind of hone in on this for just a second, that God is calling the body of Christ, you and me, those of us that are following Christ Jesus with our lives, to be careful, not to live like unwise people, but very wise people, because when we do, we get to take advantage of opportunities. And so the question really is like, well, what are we going to do, man? We're going to move, we're going to buy, we're going to this, we're going to that. Okay, great. So I'm going to answer that for you right now. You ready? I'm going to answer that for you. So we have, for a year, we have walked properties, looked at buildings. We've been through all kinds of stuff. In fact, last year, if you remember on Vision Sunday, I said this. I said, we have found a location that we will pursue until it is ours or until the door closes. And the door closed. All right? So it's off the table for us. But we have narrowed our search down currently to three things. Three things. One, we have found a building that is in our city that we like it. We like it. Hey, we could really see this as a potential future for our church. And so that's on the table. It's part of the conversation. We have found a piece of property. We really like it. Like, okay, like, this has potential. This really could be a part of the future of our church. And we are looking at an expansion project on this property right here. Okay. And those are the three main things that we're just sort of leaning into and looking at as a church for our next steps right now. Okay, here's sort of the bad news, all right? None of those options, none of them have a timeline less than 2 years and a price tag less than $2 million. To start. So we're in this position where we're like, And here's why we're going, Because in June of this year, Church on the Rock became a debt-free organization. Debt-free. Yeah. And so we don't have mortgage payments and all that stuff. We have our basic overhead. You know, we got to keep the lights on and we pay staff and all that kind of, like, we do all that stuff, but we have no debt at all. And it took a long time to get here thanks to your generosity and buying into this vision. And so the tension is, well, man, we don't necessarily want to go jump into new debt just because we just got out of old debt. Like, we even have lenders that are like, we'll give you money. You can have money. And we're like, thanks, but we're not really sure right now because we want to make sure that we're wise. Yeah. We're wise. So you know what? Let's just be really, really careful about this. And so what can we do? And so we've made a commitment. I feel like I've said this a lot, but our church keeps growing and maybe you're hearing it for the first time, that we've made a commitment that we are willing to turn this church over 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 10 times, like whatever it takes to keep serving the people that keep coming. That's our commitment. We will maximize what we've been given. And so in light of these next steps, as we continue to see, God, would you have this building for us? God, would you have this property for us? God, would you have this expansion for us? Like, we're just, God, what do you have? In the medium, our board of directors has made a decision for us that we collectively decided, prayerfully decided, what we're going to do is that we are going to take a simple step that's going to do some immediate like pressure relief on this current campus. So we're
Who said that? Because that was awesome. That was so, so good. We should meet in the lobby. I need to get some jokes off of you for Sunday mornings. If you missed it, if you're online watching, he said build more closets. That is a really, really good response. I got to pedal. I got to get moving. So we've made a decision to alleviate pressure right now is we are going to add some square footage here on this facility. So somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 square feet. We have a few different options on how that will look. We're looking into all of that right now. And here's what it's going to do for us, okay? It's going to create more space for us to serve you better. And so here's how that translates. It's going to give us a little bit more adequate office space, though we're still going to keep that as small as possible and effective, but it'll immediately add another classroom into our kids' building, which is much, much needed. Amen. It's the fastest growing part of our church, and they need the attention the most. They are desperate for another classroom. It's going to provide that classroom for them. It's also going to create a little bit of like a, I don't know what we would call it, but it's going to be like a meeting room where our all-access process that we do currently, we do it at the end of first, second, third Sunday every month at 12:30. We will be able to produce those for you during church services. So now if you come to the 8 a.m. and it's like, well, hey, we want you to be a part of All Access, come back all the way at 12:30. Well, right now we don't have a choice because we're limited in our space. We'll be able to provide All Access during services so it's more convenient for people to attend. We believe that's going to help us to build our dream team larger, to infuse our teams to be able to produce more services and get us to the ultimate vision that God is calling us to. Amen. Yeah. Here's the best news about it. Are you ready? You ready?
Ready.
You've already paid for it. Like, we'll do it in cash. We'll do it in cash. Why? Why? Because we've been as wise as we can, and we just see an opportunity. And guess what? We can move on the opportunity. And we can move on the opportunity and put no pressure on us as a family to come on, we got to raise the funds. Come on, everybody give. Like, no. Like, I believe this is how God wants our church to continue to function. So the good news is there's no big ask. I'm not doing the whole, come on, make a pledge of X amount of dollars. Like, this is not our heart. We don't do that around here. We just do our best to just be wise. And then when opportunities come up, guess what? We'll step into those opportunities. So church, thank you for your generosity and for giving us this opportunity. Amen. It's awesome. It's really awesome. So I'm gonna kind of breeze through the next couple of things pretty quickly. Some of you, this might, again, some of this is gonna matter to some and not to others. At some point, something's gonna matter to everybody. I wanna talk to you about something that we call legacy lanes. I wish I had more time to really unpack this and tell you what it is, but we call it legacy lanes. We believe that God has called us to build a church and to create a church family that will outlive us all.
Yeah.
Okay? Because one day I'll be less effective. I just will. It's the inevitable truth, right? One day my season is going to change and God's going to be like, bro, you're old and people don't like listening anymore. You got to move on, right? It's true. It is what it is. I mean, it might hurt my feelings, but it's true. And what's my responsibility then? To raise up a generation. Like, so we call it legacy. We want to think in terms of legacy. What outlives us? What can we do that goes beyond ourselves generationally? Our founding pastor did that. He built a legacy and invested it into the next generation. I'm responsible to do that exact same thing. And so when we talk about buildings and we talk about $2 million this, and you know, some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. This is America. We're so spoiled. You should go to Europe, or not Europe, that's a bad example. You should go to Africa where I was and see some of the, right? And I get it. Like, I get it, okay? I hear you. And so what we've done is we've created what we call legacy lanes. And so if you're one that says, look, honestly, Josh, I don't care about buildings. I care about world missions. That's awesome. We've given you the opportunity to accelerate that lane. So man, my giving, you know what? I just want to see more of those underground church pastors served better. You can accelerate that lane. You can accelerate church planting across the United States and help more churches get started and grow into life and reach more people in different communities and different cities and different states across the nation. You can be a part of that. Hey, I want to see a church that makes a difference in its city, man. I want to see it making an impact in some of the poorest parts of our town or over at the jail or like wherever it might be. Like, well, guess what? You can accelerate
celebrate that vision. But if you're the one that's like, man, I want that new building, I'm tired of the closet, right? You're going to celebrate that too. And so I just want to identify that we're just setting up, because all of this outlives us. All of it. And so our heart is like, God, we're just trying to chase you. We want to be wise. So we're just going after what you're calling us to. And then we just want to make it where you have the opportunity to just advance what you're passionate about, what God's put in your heart, because together we're better together. Isn't that right? We can do more together than any of us could do alone. And so it's important that we just So I just wanted to point that out to you. Yeah, sound good? All right, again, for time, forgive me. It's like this, you know, in my head, there's a guy going, let's go. All right. So there's something else that we do annually here that I'm very, very excited about. And I want to announce it today. You can go ahead and throw it up there, is what we call a legacy offering, This is a Sunday that we select each year. And what we do is, this is my ask right here, okay? I'm making the ask right here. And so what we do is we say, church, we want you to prayerfully consider what you would give in this legacy offering. And here's what we do. It's this year, December 1st. And here's what we do. We give the whole thing away. Amen. All of it. Everything that comes in on that day, we just give it away. Why? Why? Because in the position that we are in as a church, logic would say we need to raise money for that $2 million vision that you got, preacher, you know, or whatever. Come on, let's have an offering. That's what logic would say. But God's kingdom says give, and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over to people give to you. The Bible says that the same measure of generosity that we use is the same measure God uses when he gives back to us. And so here's our heart, and honestly why our new series got its title. We refuse to look to ourselves to be the way maker. We choose to look to God to be our way maker. God, you choose, you decide, so we will do it your way. We'll do it your way. And so here's what I'm asking, is I'm asking every single person that calls this church their home to contribute. I'm looking for 100% participation in this offering. I will not tell you how much to give. I can't do that. That's God's job. I'm just asking you to pray about it. For some of you, it might be a dollar. Pastor asked me to help. He asked me to contribute, to participate in this. I'm giving a dollar. Thank you for your generosity. Others of you, it will be measurably more than that. You know what? You choose. You decide. But at church, I want to be a kind of church that goes and makes impacts. And we're going to spread this money wide through all those lanes that we talked about. We're going to advance the vision with some of our missionaries and advance the mission of church planning and advance some outreach that we're doing within our city. We are going to advance the vision of God. We're giving the whole thing away. I'd love for you to be a part of it. Yeah? Sound good? Yes. I know I'm moving fast, y'all, but I have to, okay? All right. So we're getting a little narrower, right? Can you see it? We're coming down. Now I want to start communicating why. Like, all right, Josh, you talked about all this stuff and man, what you believe God's called us to and whatever, but why? I'm going to show you. And listen, we're going to throw some stats up here on the screen. And if they excite you, you're welcome to just cheer really loud. Okay. You know, if you're going to do it big. I'm going to show you this year, from January 1st to present day, we have seen 96 salvations in this church. 96. That's 96 less people going to hell. 96 more people going to heaven. That's 96 people on a faith journey, walking with the Lord and growing in steps of their faith. And that's from January 1 to present day. That is only the ones that have documented it on a connection card, that have actually given us their information, checked boxes and said, today was a day I made a decision to follow Jesus. And here's the coolest part, plus 13 in our kids building. Plus 13. It's exciting. It's exciting. This is why. Because we want to see people leave darkness and walk into light. A couple other stats, just to kind of tell you how we're doing. So far this year, we've seen 20 people get baptized as a next step of this journey of faith, which is really exciting. But I also want you to know how I think. Okay? Ready? I'm going to let you in just a little bit to how Pastor Josh thinks. I'm looking at this number, and I'm looking at this number, and I see a deficiency. And here's what I'm saying. Church on the Rock needs to do a better job of identifying people's next step. So we're on a mission right now. How can we make this step clear and help them make a better step so that they can actually make the decision for Christ and then display that decision publicly? Here's the cool news. We have 9 people on our roster currently that say, hey, I want to be baptized. And they have the opportunity to do that on December 8th of this year. So if you're like, ooh, pick me, get that connection card out today. Check that box. We're going to add you to that roster. And on December 8th, we're going to celebrate and we're going to dunk them. Woo! Raise the life again, baby. Yeah. So December 8th, it's going to be a big, fun celebration day. If you've ever been a part of a baptism Sunday with us, we make them as big and as fun and celebratory as we possibly can. All right, that's that. Let's move on. Give you a couple of more. Fall life groups, just in the fall, this semester that we're currently in, we had 38 individual groups with about 248 attendees in those groups on a weekly basis, which is really, really awesome. I mean, I think that's really cool. I'll give you this stat. Some of you may or may not know this, but there's currently about 600 of us that show up here on the weekends. So my hope is that this number looks a little bit more like 600. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, listen. We're good in rows. We are great in circles. Now, I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to make one plug, but I mean it with all of my heart. If you are not in a group, you're missing the best part of this church.
Yeah.
The best part.
Yeah.
It is not the song. It is not the sermon. It is not the pom-poms or the cool golf cart or those amazing dream teamers. They're great, but I'm telling you right now, it's the people sitting around you. You need them, and they need you. And I'm challenging you. Get in a group. Say amen right there. All right, moving on. All access is a process that we have to acclimate people to our church. Here's what we say. We want our house to be your house. We want you to have access. It's yours, man. Come on in. Welcome to the family. We launched All Access in April of this year and already have seen 115 people go through All Access, which has been super, super exciting. And then we also, from that 115 attendees, we have 85 people that said, hey, I'm in, I'm with the vision, I'm calling Church on the Rock home, let's do this thing, which is super, super exciting. I also know, by the way, that there are people who said, hey, like, we're doing it, we just haven't done it yet. I got people that say, man, I keep forgetting to give them my paperwork, but like, we're with you, whatever. So this is this gap isn't probably as big as it looks. And I'm going to say this, even though I don't have time to say it, is that the people that didn't decide to join this vision, like, that's okay. Because our heart is for you to connect to a church. We're inviting you to connect to this one, but our heart is for you to connect to a church. You just need to be a part of the family of God somewhere. So if they don't connect here, but they connect elsewhere, we still call that a win.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, cool. And then Dream Team, we've had 29 new additions to our Dream Team, and this is really a result of our new Step 3 of All Access, and that's only 4 months old. So in 4 months, we've added 29 more people to our Dream Team to be able to serve you better. Thank you. Somebody's excited about Dream Team. Yeah. All right. Amen. Golf clappers. Thank you for that too. Appreciate it. So, here's the question. Like, okay, great. Why does all this matter? Why does all this matter? Because we can talk about millions of dollars worth of vision, and we can talk about stuff that's out there, and we can talk about future and what God's going to do. But really, those numbers that we just looked at, they represent people's hearts and people's lives.
Yeah.
And they matter. And so it's important that we remember that those 96 adults that said yes to Jesus Christ for the very first time, they have a name and a story and a life that has the same kind of spiritual warfare that you and I are facing. And they're on the same faith journey that you and I are on. And God wants to use them the same way he's using us. And we have a responsibility and a mandate to keep serving those people and help them to go where God is calling them to go. And the best part is when you get to know some of their stories and you get to what, like, oh, oh man, and you get to hear and you get to listen. This is why groups are so strong, because you get to find out like what God's doing in people's lives, and then you get to celebrate with them. Like, dude, that's so awesome. Like, man, you haven't smoked a cigarette in 3 hours. Woo! That for some people, this is huge. It's huge. And if it matters to them, it should matter to us. And so, man, for some people, it's marriages restoring. For some people, it's walking away from addictions. For some people, it's stepping into a better perspective of who they are because they see themselves through Jesus and not through their own error and mistakes. And so it's like for us, we're like, yes, we just want you to become everything that God is calling you to be. All those numbers represent a name. And I want to make sure that we keep our hearts focused on the names. Amen. And so for me as a pastor, I get this great opportunity. I hear stories all the time. I get to hear from you and you, and you tell me, oh man, I kind of know some people's progression and their journey and what their next step is. But I feel for you, like you don't always get to hear that. And so I want to just pause and I want to give you the opportunity just to hear from just two people from within our church and just hear what God's been doing in them since they've been a part of this church. Take a look.
Well, my name is Quentin Evans. This is my wife, Cynthia, and my lovely daughter, Jade Evans.
Never gets in trouble.
Well, we've been coming to Church on the Rock for about 4.5 months now. We joined and joined All Access, and here we are today.
So the moment when I received Christ, I think before that I grew up in the church. I was church raised and attended church. But when I got older, as a lot of people do tend to do these days, is you back away from church because you're overdrowned in church. I think you get sometimes you can get overwhelmed with going to church constantly. So I kind of backed away from church.
Well, my testimony was a whole lot more. Less traditional because I wasn't brought up in church. Back in early part of 2008, I was around the corner in the county jail, and my condition of getting bond out there, that I had to go to church, and I never forget that. So I started going to church, and I'm just like, you know, I didn't know what saved was. I mean, I was dealing with flirting around with selling drugs and just getting into things I wasn't supposed to be getting into and stuff like that, and, you know, and just being around a certain circle of people that I shouldn't have been hanging around with. It's gonna cost you the long run. The trouble costs a whole lot more to get out of than it costs to get into. Things just start slowly changing, and I face more challenges, you know what I'm saying, because I had to go from that lifestyle to this lifestyle, and it was a journey.
We ended up getting engaged in October. This is all the same year. We got engaged in October, and then we got married January. So in May 22nd is the day that I gave my life to Christ. I used to be a school bus driver, and I had dropped my last kid off, and something just came over me, and I received Christ right there on my school bus while I was driving it. And I called my husband, and I told him, I was like, I got saved. And he was like, where? And I'm like, on my school bus. And he was like, well, I'm gonna get saved too. So that's our testimony. We got saved, and it brought along a lot of challenges and changes, but I grew up in church, so I had my foundation was kind of laid for me. So that's my testimony of coming to Christ. That's how I received him, on my school bus, not the typical altar. That's what I love so much about Church on the Rock and the life groups that we offer, that it's life-changing. And I know me and you discussed, me and my husband was talking about how this is just a breath of fresh air, that if we would have got saved and started here at this location and started here at this church, how far we think we would have been in our journey with God, and how far our life spiritually would have been just with the freedom in the building. I think that's just awesome. So don't allow circumstances or people or the crowd that you're surrounded with right now to stop you from searching for God and going forward, because God will make a way. We have good days and we have bad days, but at the end of the day, your life decision is your eternity. And I think that's the key that keeps me going when I feel like I can't go any further, or is this the end of the road? God reminds me that it is him, and he is the way, and he will keep guiding and leading me.
Woo! Yeah. Isn't that awesome? So, you know, we talk all this vision and all this potential and this stuff, and it's Quentin and Cynthia that make me get up in the morning. It's stories like those that motivate me to serve the way that God's called me to serve and to do what God's called me to do. And I want to just say, guys, let us not forget what this is really all about. And what we are really doing and what God is really calling us to is for more people's names, like that, real people that have real challenges in their lives, and to say, man, like, let's help them find the hope in Jesus, because we can't survive without him. Amen. And so I think the question then becomes, okay, then what do I do? And so I'm going to give you four verbs today. This is on the one side. We're kind of typical flow, and I'm going to blow through this real quick. Some of you guys are wondering when you're going to eat. A couple of minutes, I promise, okay? But I want to give you four verbs that would help you, help us accelerate the vision that God has called us to impact more Quentins, more Cynthias, and more of you. And so I want to start, though, if I may, with the purpose statement of our church. I just think it's important. And if you call this church home, grab your cell phone out real fast, take a picture of this, write this down, memorize it. I think it would be helpful for you that we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. This is what we are here for. We believe that this purpose statement encompasses the great commission of Jesus, that we want people to know who he is and become disciples of his and grow in a journey. So our heart is not only for people to know Jesus, but to become fully devoted followers of his and to become disciples of his in Jesus' name. And so Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 14. He said, I want you to go to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in. Why? So my house will be full. So that my house will be full. And I want to put it into the context of the way Jesus meant it. He's talking about heaven. And he's like, go invite everybody because I want them in my house. I want them to be sons and daughters of the King. I want to invite them in. And I love this verse and I love these words of Jesus because it motivates me as a pastor. This is why I want the house full. Because we're part of the process of growing the kingdom. There's 96 adults and 13 kids that have a better destiny today because of what you do and because of what you give and because of how you contribute. And I want to keep going because, listen to me, everybody, I want the house full. I want these rooms full, and I want all access full, and I want life groups full, and I want stuff to be full. Why? Because I want to do what Jesus has called us to do. I want heaven full. Come on. I want to populate heaven and plunder hell. That's what we want to do in this church. And so how do you do it? In 3 minutes, I'm going to give you four verbs. You ready? The first is this. Write it down. Follow. I want to encourage you to just follow. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus. Don't follow people, follow Jesus. He'll always lead you in the right way. Watch what he says in Matthew chapter 8. Then, calling the crowd to join the disciples, he says, if any of you wants to be my, what did he call it? Follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Can I make a statement to you? Listen. Jesus doesn't want a bunch of believers. He wants a bunch of followers. The Bible says that even demons believe and tremble. He's looking for people that say, I'll follow you everywhere you call me to go, and I'll go where I never thought possible. Why? Because I'm a follower of Christ Jesus. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is connect. Connect. And the first thing has to be your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It has to be first. Follow Jesus. But then after that, God's calling us to build connections. I like to say it this way, that we're good in rows, we're great in circles, we're better together. We can do more together than we could ever do apart. God has called us to be members of the body of Christ, but if we're dismembered, we're less effective. We're better, we're more functional when we're connected as a body because we function that way. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says that two are better than one because they have a good return on their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls alone and has no help. That's not good. It goes on to say that also if two lie down together, they will keep warm. Amen, baby. Anyway, but sorry, I don't have time for those jokes. But but how can one keep warm alone? I'm so sorry. That was bad. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And watch this. A strand of three cords is not easily broken. Watch what happens. It gets stronger the more of them come. Amen. It's important that we not only be followers, but we also be connected as a family. As a family. The third thing is this one. I think it's important that we discover. Discover. I think that there are scores of people that are trying to follow Jesus, but they don't even know what he wants for them. Like, I'm saved, but I don't really know why I'm saved. That's why we have what we call all access. And in step two, we call it the discovery workshop. Why? Because we want to help you discover how God made you and why God would save you. Because listen to me carefully. He has a purpose for you. A high impact purpose in the kingdom when you're connected to the family. Look what the Bible says. This is King David. He says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." And watch what he says. "I know it full well." I want you to know it full well that I was saved by God on purpose, with a purpose, to make a difference in someone else's life. How do I do it? I do it, number four, it's the last verb, by serving. God's calling us to serve. He's calling us to make an impact into people's lives. Stop disqualifying yourself because of your story. Stop. Stop saying that you're not good enough or that you can't make a difference or that you don't matter. Stop. Because your story is going to be part of your testimony. And God's going to use everything that you've walked through to help somebody else out of the same pit that you've been in before. God wants you to make a difference in people's lives. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards. Like this is how we manage it well. This faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We're uniquely designed and we're uniquely different. And God has a call on your life. And he wants you to follow Jesus. And he wants you to connect to a family. And he wants you to discover why he would save you so that you can serve people. And that you can be a part of a story like Quentin's and Cynthia's. And you can be a part of life change like we're experiencing in this house. Why? Not because we're trying to build the name of Church on the Rock. That would be ridiculous. We're trying to make Jesus's name famous in a broken world. So perhaps this morning you're in this room with every head bowed, every eye closed, and of all the Sundays, it would be Vision Sunday that the Holy Spirit of God is doing something inside of your heart. And you might be somebody that God is calling right now in this moment to help that number of 96 to grow. But you know what? It is time that I become a follower. It's gonna start there. And so I wanna invite some of you in this room to become followers of Jesus, watching online, listening to a podcast. This could be your moment to become a follower. And so I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. Church, you know how we do it. I'm gonna ask every voice in the auditorium to say this prayer with me. But for some of you, it'll be the first time you've ever said it. And I want you to say it with boldness. I want you to say it with confidence because today's the day that everything changes for you. Today's the day that you recognize who Jesus is. Today's the day that you step out of darkness and into light. Today's the day that you leave your past and you walk into a better future. And I want you to say this prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Would you give God some praise for those that made that life change decision? I love you guys.
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.